Welcome to Voice Rising with Kara Johnstad. Enjoy weekly conversations with leading luminaries, pioneering visionaries, singers, poets, musicians, and sound healers as we explore the profound role our voice plays on the path to self-realization and global enlightenment. The internationally acclaimed singer, composer, author, healer, recording artist, voice expert, creator of Voice Your Essence, and founder of the School of Voice, Kara Johnstad, uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower others. Everything in this world vibrates. Everything has a frequency. A pioneer in the field of voice work and transformational songwriting. Her breakthrough methods are helping thousands of people worldwide fine-tune their body-mind-spirit system and unlock the energetic frequencies of limitless creativity, health, and abundance. Share your voice, ask your questions, join in the conversation. Receive life-changing, positive transformation and rise together to create a sound world. And here's your host, Kara Johnstad.
Hello, everybody. A very warm welcome today to the show. As you know out there, we are in a time of great transition, and higher frequency light is flooding our planet. Our psychic senses are opening, and we are called to co-create a sound world, a world that seeks coherence and harmony. And luckily, living in a loving, peaceful, and harmonious world can be much more than a pipe dream in these transformational times. We do have the tools to collectively awaken and give birth to a 5D world. And with me today is writer, teacher, shamanic minister, and workshop presenter, Judith Corvin Blackburn, who has been in a private psychotherapy practice for over 35 years. She is author of 3 books, Empowering the Spirit, A Process to Activate Your Soul's Potential, Journey to Wholeness, A Guide to Inner Healing, and Activating Your 5D Frequency, a guidebook for the journey into the higher dimensions. And that is the book that we will be discussing and talking about today. So welcome, Judith, to Voice Rising.
Thank you, Kara. I'm delighted to be on your show.
Yeah, it's good to have you. Judith, since the 1960s, that's a long time. And yeah. We're lucky to have your wisdom. Your passion in life has been to guide and empower people to live their lives from their true nature, their true essence, their true authentic selves, and collectively transform planet Earth. Your newest book is Activating Your 5D Frequency. Share with us, what does it mean to be a 5D human?
Well, this is, of course, an essential question, and in some ways, Kara, it is a very simple answer. Because The primary characteristic of our fifth dimensional frequency is unconditional love of self and others. It's unbridled creativity. I loved hearing your introduction. We are very aligned with a lot of this. I just forgot the third one. It'll come.
But anyway, it'll come.
It'll come. And, you know, basically to step into non-judgment. Oh, the important piece, the third, is unity consciousness, to understand that we are interconnected with all creation.
Which so is, I'll share.
So as we move into this frequency, what really gets us there is through the heart. The complexity is one we have been quite literally for thousands of years. Most of the humans on this planet have had their DNA shut down. You know, we know we have 12 strands. Scientists have talked about us using only 2. They were calling the other 10 junk DNA, which makes me laugh every time I say it, even though it's not exactly funny. We have all these gifts. It was really very much what you were saying in your introduction. We have all these gifts that are opening, but that means lighting up these dormant DNA strands. Because of the light hitting the planet right now, and I'm sure many other factors, more and more of us are waking up and activating these light codes, as they're often called. You know, my thesis is, and it's not just mine, but this is the way it's come through to me, is that we as humans on this planet went through a dimensional descent, that originally we were 5D. And so what people are calling ascension now is a reclaiming of who we really are and lighting up those strands of DNA that open untold gifts, but also put us in a very open, loving, harmonious, peaceful. I mean, this is all what we long for.
Yes.
The only other piece I would say on the complexity of it is there is the fourth dimension, and that's an emotional dimension. And because of all the trauma on this planet over, again, several thousands of years, we have a lot of stored up emotional wounds that need to be addressed to fully open us to step wholly as a whole person into this 5D frequency.
We do. We have a lot of wounds. It reminds me of a beautiful book. I'm not sure if you have read it by, I'm thinking of her name, Sharon Blackie. I want to say it's three names, but it's called If Women Rose Rooted. And she has this opening. Do you know this book? I've had her on the show. It's a fantastic book, and she's a fantastic writer. But basically, she remembers herself standing, staring at a TV, and there was a huge oil spill. And she felt her body, just as every child does and would, just longing for fairness and justice. And you know, this thing that we have going on, that we all know, that when we see pictures of war, we see pictures of birds' feathers full, you know, with oil, covered in oil. We see pictures of children that are abandoned. And yet we're told somewhere, it's okay, that's how the world is. We kind of have to get through it. And I think that is something that is really precious about realizing, you know what, it's not okay. It's an ancient, you know, it's in our DNA that we come to this earth, and if anybody's ever had a child, with open arms, with an open mind, with an open heart, and are conditioned and programmed, like you said, that these aspects are, the aspects of innocence are basically, well, that's beautiful for a little baby, but that's not how real life is. Real life is war, and it repeats itself, right? So which transformative tools do we have, Judith, to access and activate and unlock these other strands and these light codes so that we can really live this multidimensional creative potential?
Yeah, that's a big question, and I will start with whatever comes through on that one, Kara. You know, first is to be aware that we have been, you know, the conditioning and the programming, and I think more and more that people are understanding this. This is not the truth. We can have a loving, just, fair world, and that, however, that we also have to be very gentle with ourselves in moving from being in a very dualistic culture worldwide, really, except for some indigenous tribes that weren't invaded, so to speak. That we have a lot to undo in order to fully step into this 5D frequency. So part of the issue, and I find this when I'm teaching or working with people, you know, they all of a sudden they get the concept and they love the concept, and then they keep thinking they should always be in a 5D frequency. And that's just not how we are right now. We're going to go back and forth. We're going to have, you know, those beautiful, flowing, loving days. And then we're going to crash out sometime. And whether it's feeling overwhelmed by the collective energies or our own issues or fears, to be able to acknowledge that and understand this is part of the process. And then to look more specifically at tools, which are, you know, from my perspective as a psychotherapist, they're more psychotherapy kinds of tools. Which is to really be able to, you know, and emotional healing is something that our society has been very ignorant about. And two, it's also a process. Which is why therapists, you know, if you have a good guide, that's a lovely way to do it. Although more and more modalities are coming in, like using resonance, which I know you're doing with your singing. And there's so many, we have access to so much now.
We have access to so much now. And at the same time, people can also get caught in a constant workshop retreat, reading self-help books, instead of realizing that they are very capable. There are places on our path that we do need support, and that is very beautiful to have communities and therapists or people that can deeply listen. But I do think it's also, it comes a time where we say we are on this human journey together, and how can we support each other to integrate? And what's really missing, I think, is rituals, right? I think that's one tool that we no longer have. We don't have that we are harvesting our food together. We often don't have that we are building a home together. There's a lot of buy it, you know, even, you know, buy the house prefabricated and put it up, or buy the living room set finished and someone delivers it. So there's a less of this community building, but I also think that it's coming back. There's a renaissance, right, for these kinds of things. What would you say, I mean, how would you go about, you talk about the 4D being the emotional field, the 5D is unconditional love and unity consciousness. How is it we start feeling our emotions and we, you know, and then suddenly a big mess of rage or anger, how can people learn to balance? I mean, in my traditions and in my studies, we don't go into that. It's like I've done active meditations where one would touch on it and then ground and then leave it, meaning you integrate it very slowly, right? So you can paint a picture in black, let's say, or I can scream a song, or I can sing the blues, but after that I might shift then into a love ballad. So that means that I'm tapping into this emotion, but I don't get sucked in, because that can be very scary too, right? If we lose our balance.
Yes. And because we are, you know, as a whole, rather ignorant about emotions and how to identify, express them in a safe way and release them.
Yes.
Give me a moment. It just left, so it'll come back.
I love it. We're channeling here.
So it piles up.
It piles up.
So very rarely is a child, for instance, allowed to express their anger. And yet we know with babies, you know, if a baby's hungry and you're not right there immediately, that baby's going to howl in anger. There's nothing wrong with it. It comes up as a wave and it gets released. But if you have 30, 40, 50, 60 years of stored up anger, then there are ways that to release it safely and absolutely over a period of time. I think part of this is for people to know these feelings are okay, and we have a right to our feelings. We don't have a right to do harm with our feelings, which is very different. I find that I don't work with beginners, if you understand what I mean. I work with mm-hmm. people that have already done quite a lot of growth in themselves and typically are pretty open spiritually, and yet often get stuck with this believing anger is bad, as mm-hmm. an example, where there's nothing wrong with the feeling.
Yeah,
it's when it gets stuck and turns into resentment or other harmful things. Mm-hmm. So part of it is to really learn how to, I call it honoring our feelings, mm-hmm. and also understanding these work in waves, so that, you know, perhaps my anger comes up in a wave and perhaps it's old, but I'm able to see it, I'm able to honor it, I'm able to safely express it, and mm-hmm. then it releases just like the wave does. Well, you know, next week it might come up again, another part of the wave. And so having an understanding of how this works within us, I think, is really important. Oftentimes, what's happening for people that are spiritually awakening is that they think they're supposed to bypass these feelings, that these feelings aren't either valid or they're not spiritual, when in fact we have this, you know, we have four bodies. We have the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual or etheric body. And we have to clear that emotional body. Mm-hmm. And that means being able to work with these feelings, to honor these feelings, and also to accept what we call the shadow part of the self. Right. We have parts that are not very nice, because we are human and we've gone through these things. And to understand that this is all part of creation, and to be able to send those parts love so that they don't do harm. They don't come, you know, when you repress something, it can come out in a really a backwards way or sideways yes. way that does much more harm, whether one is aware of it or not.
So let's take a small break. Hold your thought. We're going to be back again with Judith Corvin Blackburn, and then we're going to be talking about emotional wellness and the shadow part.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. OM Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
With happy clients all over the world, Kara Johnstad knows that your voice is the missing link to more authenticity, abundance, creativity, and health. An internationally acclaimed voice expert, Kara's breakthrough methods have helped thousands of people successfully heal their voice wounds and extinguish the story of self-doubt and shyness forever. Join in group trainings, attend online sessions, schedule one-on-one time, and invite Kara to work with your organization and community. Get started today. Go to www.karajohnstad.com and receive a special guided meditation designed to fine-tune your inner voice and welcome you on the voice journey.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
COVID-19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and with me today in studio is the award-winning author, psychotherapist, and shamanic minister, Judith Corvin Blackburn, and we're talking all about harmonic well-being and high-frequency medicine. We just left off with shadow work. Judith's shadow is working with our shadow or our shadow side. This is a term used in therapy, but for some of our listeners, share with us, what is shadow work and why is it so important on our journey?
Okay. Well, I believe it was Carl Jung that came up with the concept. The shadow is any part of ourselves that we've been taught is unacceptable, and we push it down into our unconscious or subconscious. Sometimes shadow could actually be some of our gifts. For instance, a child that's very psychic, the parents might think that would be threatening, and or a child that's very artistic, sometimes that gets pushed in to the shadow or into the unconscious. But on a more collective note, what gets pushed into the shadow is any thoughts that seem quote unquote not nice. And that includes when we feel angry, it may include when we feel resentful. What I was thinking about, you know, you had mentioned we were going to speak into this during break, and what came back to me was many years ago, I was at a conference where the keynote address was by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, and, you know, she's made a huge contribution on death and dying in our culture. And she's really quite a remarkable woman. At the time, she was talking about, and she had been, I believe, born in Germany. I know that she was in concentration camps for a while. She had a tattoo on her wrist. And she spoke to this very large group. I think the conference was on spirituality, science and spirituality. And she said, find the Hitler within you. And what her point is that, you know, when we understand we're all part of everything, we have to own that we, given certain situations, we have the capacity to act out in ways that could be very harmful and cruel. And so because that is, you know, I mean, most people are good, loving people. They don't want to find that part of themselves because they think that will keep them from being as good and as loving. But see, actually, it's the opposite. When we can accept that we are part of this great collective of humanity and we have the capacity for great good, we also have the capacity for, not crazy about the word evil, but great negativity. And it will come up in, you know, much milder form for most people. But to be able to say, okay, come into awareness so that I can see you, so that you're not going to go out and do harm or project it onto other people. And I understand that this is coming from some kind of wounding when this comes up for me. But if I pretend it's not there, then it can do unconscious harm. Again, whether it's that kind of us-them mentality, they're those bad people that do bad things and I'm a good person, we'll find all of that within ourselves. I also believe that as we do that, Kara, to be able to love it and neutralize it, we help the collective because we're also doing that on a collective level.
Because we're transcending judgment and we're stepping into compassion.
Exactly. That's exactly okay. Right. Yeah.
So what and happens what to it, yeah.
But that's what it is. It's about compassion for ourselves and compassion. If I have a nasty thought, I'm going to want it to go away. I'm going to want to not notice it. But it came. So if I can notice it, I can look at it compassionately and ask that it do no harm. Then I'm beginning to have a new relationship with my shadow. And sometimes, you know, shadow work, is a lot of indigenous cultures were able to do it through dance and kind of a theater, acting out stories. And that was a way to own and neutralize the shadow.
Well, I think we also do it through stories. We've never had a bigger film market. The problem is that we're watching. We're watching, you know, the violence. We're not taking responsibility for the part that we might have played in that. Or I'm sitting in Berlin, and so, you know, that is a very strong statement with which a lot of people wouldn't want to ever hear. Find your, let's say, find your inner dictator. But the fact is, nobody can say what they might have done from which side if they get into these situations. So again, what happens to this amazing amount of energy? If we think that emotions is energy in motion, when we repress it, when we suppress it, then you're either going to have what you said is anger or rage, which we see happening, or a lot of depression. And I'm always shocked, as someone who supports people to express, that we have, I believe in America, and I'm sure maybe in Germany too, or in Europe, it's literally 50% at some point are in depression. I'm not sure how many are in constant depression, but that's a huge amount of the population that is not able to thrive and be joyful because of emotions that are not able to be expressed. I mean, that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's huge. Right?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, what I found, really, I've worked a lot with depression over the years. I'm quite sure I would have been depressed if I didn't get to learn these things in my 20s.
Yeah.
And so I'm hugely grateful because I haven't had to deal with that. But the really, depression is anger turned inward.
Yes.
And when I work with clients on that, it's like magic. And because I've been doing this for a long time, actually 45 years.
Yeah.
I would get people to in my office before they were put on medication. And then they didn't need medication because we could work this through. Now the first thing that happens if you feel depressed is they give you meds, and which allows people in some ways to keep bypassing this.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm not a doctor on the show, so I do have friends that chose that path. And I also have other friends that chose the path, and it was very difficult to get off of them. And I'm similar to you, is that I have been very lucky and very fortunate to have so much creative output and deep meditation and songwriting and singing and all these things that I was able to move through this energy and support people also to move the energy. And that is a tricky part. When the energy gets stuck, we have to have ways to move it. And so you have said, let me find my notes here. Here it is, that when I hear these words, put it like that, as above, so below, as within, so without, I think of the voice, actually, as above, so below, as within, so without, because for me, the voice is this amazing portal connecting our inner to our outer, connecting the spiritual frequencies as we manifest it into song. What do you think when you hear these lines? Because they're in your book. As above, so below, as within, so without. What is your sense? What role do we play in this all?
Well, again, this gets a little complex, but on one hand, I do believe we are all creation is part of this giant hologram. Mm-hmm. So that hologram, even the smallest part, contains everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that when we heal within, we shift. That's part of how we shift the collective. But the first thing that happens, you know, I do my inner healing, and I'm sure I'll be through tests and challenges. That's part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
But my life is really working on the outside. When I heal within, it also goes into that giant hologram of creation, which brings more love and more joy mm-hmm. into the collective. And also it creates a portal, if you will, for people to know, wait, there is a process, I can get there.
Yeah.
Which is essential. The as above, so below, that again, I have probably, if you ask me on every different day, I may have a different answer. But mm-hmm. I very much believe that we came to this planet from the great star nations. We are holding star consciousness. It's in those 10 typically unused strands of DNA. And of course, the Earth herself is a beautiful creation and also holds great wisdom. And so mm-hmm. to me, that as above, so below is kind of linking up, you know, kind of linking up the heavens and the Earth. And, you know, thinking about what you were saying about community and ritual and how important that is. And what's happened, I mean, we still have so-called rituals, you know, weddings and things like that, but we've lost the sacredness, the true sacredness in everything, and the sacredness in each other, the sacredness in community. And so I feel like when we're really living out of that, as above, so below, we are really living in the sacredness of everything.
It reminds me of the line, too, from the Lord's Prayer, on earth as it is in heaven, meaning mm-hmm. that it's not that paradise is going to be somewhere after we die, but that we can, you know, as above, so below, we can also honor the Mother Earth and honor the beauty. And suddenly when you said weddings, I was like, yeah, because it's a little bit different than the rituals we had. I think some of the strongest memories for many of us were when we went to camp and we sat around a bonfire and somebody had a guitar, right? And there's something wild about it. We heard maybe the owl, or we saw the moon, and then we were sitting around this fire. And often with the other rituals that we have, with the weddings or the baptisms or the, you know, the graduations, there's a formality not to show that earthy, maybe a little bit raw or open side. We go out to get the good dress and we're dressed beautifully, et cetera, but we're not as connected to the earth. Yeah, I guess.
Absolutely. I guess the difference would be between ritual and ritualized. Mm-hmm. And when things get ritualized, they get stuck in containers, sort of, or compartments, and they've lost.
They're worried about what is right to say, or, you know, what am I allowed to say? What am I not allowed to say? Am I allowed to eat the cake that I'm hungry, but it hasn't been cut yet? And whatever it is, you know? I just want a plate of food. It's too noisy here, and I want a plate of food and go outside, but it's like that would be impolite, and then there come all the shadow dancers up. Judith, what is the divine feminine or the sacred feminine quality have to do with all of this, getting in touch with our emotions, tuning into our intuition? What role does that play at this time?
Yes, and of course, I do believe that one of the problems that we've had for thousands of years is, as patriarchy took hold, it disconnect, it diminished the divine feminine, which is understanding the wisdom that comes through literally from the inside out. It is not the intellect, it's the heart. It's the understanding intuitively, the connection to everything. It's also the divine feminine. What I realized is it's so powerful, and maybe that's why patriarchy tried to squelch it.
Yeah.
Because when you know you're connected to everything, you're not in fear, and you're not you don't look to the outside to tell you what's right. You know when it's harmonious from the inside. You can open to guidance that comes through, and again, feel it more easily on the inner. And of course, this is open to all genders. But males in our culture have been conditioned away from it. And what they did with females was to, well, you could feel, but then it was diminished and it was immature and it was, the wisdom and the connection also got lost. And so that's the wounded feminine and the wounded masculine. And now we're able to pull in this whole vision of the sacred feminine that's not in wounding, that's not, manipulative, that's in harmony with the emotions, not either, out of alignment in the emotional expression. And as that happens, we're also being able to pull in the sacred masculine, which is, what we need for structure and ways to, it's essentially the best part of the left brain where you get to be able to say, okay, so let me translate this feeling so that I can communicate it and teach it. Let me create enough structure in my life so that when all these incredible intuitions and feelings arise, I'm just not like lying on the ground unable to move.
We're able to build the walls of a house that's the logical side, which we also need. I think that is a very important part of it, right? Let us take a small break, Judith, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Welcome back to Voice Rising. I am your host, Kara Johnstad, and today I am in studio with Judith Corvin Blackburn, and we are talking all about harmonic well-being, high-frequency medicine, and her brand new book, which is available out there on 5D frequency. Judith, we were talking about when we suppress emotions, that this can lead to disease or dis-ease, and that in the moment, the 4D is the emotional field, the 5D is unity, consciousness, and unconditional love. You also talk in your book about not only disease being a byproduct of suppressed emotions, but you talk about viruses and bacteria and how they are useful and how we need to start making friends with viruses and bacteria. So share with us a little bit. We are in a crazy time of a pandemic where we are so caught up in the fear of a virus, a mutation. And many people don't realize, I think, that we're breathing in 100 million viruses a day. And that we do have bacteria in our body. We're not sanitized inside. We have viruses and bacteria all around us. I'm probably going to scare a lot of people now. And that they're important for our evolution as human beings and as a species. So what is your wisdom that you bring today on the positive aspects of viruses and making friends with viruses and bacteria?
Well, this is not my area of expertise. Let me start with a disclaimer. I think I talked about it in the book when I was talking about the second dimension. Mm-hmm. Because viruses naturally live in the second dimension. It's where they belong. And part of what's happened, because we're so out of balance with the Earth, we're out of balance inside ourselves, is that these viruses are coming into the third dimension, into our bodies. They're mutating. And again, I don't have a lot to say other than as we more and more find that inner harmony, that inner balance, which of course means our immune systems will be high. Mm-hmm. And that begins to reflect more and more in the collective, so that we have more balance and harmony in our outer world, then I think our relationship with viruses will be very different. And no doubt, while certainly there's all that stuff that goes on in our body, which I don't know a lot about, mm-hmm. but it will be back in balance, and certainly nothing to fear.
Yeah, I think you do mention it in your book also. You're talking about the consciousness of food, food being, you know, how yeah. food carries light, how food has frequencies. And I think that is very important for all of us. Again, as a singer, my body is my instrument, so I'm incredibly conscious about which quality of food I nourish myself with. And I'm also conscious, and you also talk about that in the book, about which vibrational sounds I put into my body, meaning I have no television and I have very good music that I once in a while listen to. People are surprised. I actually don't have a lot of music playing because I'm very much in silence much of the time. So I think these are all different frequencies, and the viruses and the bacteria, the good ones. Whoops, my microphone just fell. Here we go. I just fell off the table. The viruses, you know, if our gut health is good, and if we are in harmony, like you said, then we're going to be able to have a strong immune system. You also talked, Judith, in the book about having your 5D global team. So what do you mean by that? Where are our team members?
Okay. I love talking about this. Kara, this is where I get very excited because we're all over the globe.
And, yes.
One of the things, since this book came out, since Activating the 5D Frequency was released in May of 2020, mm-hmm. which meant I really couldn't go to bookstores and do things that were planned ahead of time, but it allowed me to get on Zoom and really hit a global, the globe, and literally find all these amazing people all over the planet that are very much in the same awareness, and that each have different gifts. You know, mm-hmm. we speak of your gift of voice, and you know that that's your, it's the way, it's your channel to express. And interesting, my throat shot just is sounding.
I'll do the voice, and let's clear your throat chakra. You can do it.
So, you know, you're tuned in quite literally, both through your mm-hmm. music and through the interviews and all that you do through voice, that everybody has a contribution to make that feeds into this beautiful tapestry where we really will transform the planet. And for some people, it's a more public contribution. For others, it may be growing a lush organic garden, raising mm-hmm. a child. I mean, there's so many ways we can contribute because it is all energy. It's all frequency, as you know. And as more and more people realize this is happening all over, and I'll give you an example. I was doing workshops more on my second book, Empowering Spirit, and I was doing it in the 90s, even before I had finished the book. And I would start the workshop off having people go into their hearts and, you know, really opening their hearts and sending love to each other and love to themselves and love around the planet. And I was in Springfield, Illinois at the time, which was a pretty small town, and most of my students were all from there. Didn't have a global presence at all at that point. And I would say to people after, you know, because every you try to do that, man, you feel great, you know, mm-hmm. so yeah. it's a great way to start the workshop. Everybody's very happy. And I said, there are teachers doing the same thing in different circles all over the world. But I didn't really know that, Kara. I mean, that was mm-hmm. just intuitive. And then I started running into all these teachers that were doing pretty much exactly the same thing. Yeah. So that's part of this team. We're all tuning in to one. I think it's a recollection that we can live in harmony, that it's sort of that Garden of Eden. And actually, I think the biblical story of the fall was a story of the dimensional descent. You know, they blamed the feminine, which, you know, I could argue about, but the representation of a Garden of Eden where everything was harmonious. I believe we can have that again, and I believe it will be at a more, having gone through the traumas for millenniums on this planet, I think it will be a wiser, not quite so innocent, but it will have all of the beauty and all of the justice and peacefulness and, again, all those things we just intuitively in our hearts long for until we're told that they can't exist. But they can exist, and the more we begin to envision that, the closer it becomes.
Is there a power in envisioning that also together, to bring a group of people together? And Liz McTaggart does the work, right? This the group of eight, and we know, I think personally, if we sit in meditation, it's powerful, but if we can find a friend or a couple of friends to also sit in meditation with us, it feels like a bigger field. So is that Absolutely. One of the things that we can do, is to start creating these oases in our communities where we join together and envision this planet and actively co-create?
100%, Kara. I feel so strongly about that. And I teach a 10-week course that I just finished it a couple of weeks ago on connecting star consciousness with Earth consciousness. And it's really on the book. It's really on activating your 5D frequency. Mm-hmm. But what we do the last 2 to 3 classes is exactly that. We vision together. And the power of that is amazing. And the other piece that's happened, now I've only offered this class twice, but both times somebody will step up from the class and say, hey, this is such a great group. If you want to get together and keep this up, let's meet after the class is over.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was even in the first time I had over 20 people, you know, in 10 weeks, an hour and a half a week is not a lot of time together, but it still happened. And so the power of people getting together and doing this is wonderful. This is where, you know, we need media. I don't believe, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't feel that these violent movies, these shadow movies really are accomplishing anything. I think they're more, people get a rush from them, but I really don't think they have a healing component, even though were they done consciously, they might have. We need film and TV shows and plays and music, as you know, that mm-hmm. are lifting the frequency, but that are also providing images for people of what this new world can look like.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I really have problems, or put it not like this, or put it like this, I don't have problems anymore because I simply walk out of films that are too violent. My system is not able to digest it or deal with it. And the same is, though, with all the theater plays, and now somebody will bop me on the head for saying this, but even the operas, it's all the jealousy and the wrath and the, you know, all the, it's like you guys, I don't need to watch 2 hours of the jealous husband cutting off the head of Salome or whatever. I don't need it anymore. And I'm very grateful. There are great artists out there that are lifting it up. I came across a site called waterbear.com. They have wonderful films. I just watched a documentary called Kiss the Ground on regenerative soil. There are really, really good people, regenerative gardening. And like you said, the 5D Global team, it is fascinating how it was fascinating. Also, my mother is currently going through a healing crisis, and because I was trying to reach out to her, I did in meditation also kind of, you know, send love to your body, send love to the room, send love to the community, send love to the county, and it got bigger and bigger until we were all reaching the globe, right? And then I think the next day I turned a page in your book and it was actually this meditation was sitting there. So I was like, yeah. And that's how the synchronicities do work, that we are all connected, and the higher the vibration or the easier the flow is, if the emotions have been cleared and we can just flow back and forth. We do see life simply unfolding in a very easy manner, and that is precious. It is possible, right?
It is absolutely possible, and it is really our natural state.
Exactly. It's our natural state. And that is what's so beautiful. When children are shocked by the oil spill, like in Sharon Blackie's book, or we are shocked by war, we are allowed to be shocked. It's okay. And we can then find ways to integrate and to act in creating a more peaceful world. And a more loving world, right? To be empowered and not to sit there with our history books and say, okay, here's Hitler and Stalin and Mussolini, and that's the way it is. I mean, the amount of history that we've absorbed and been graded on with an A+, a B+, a C+, you need to learn this stuff, instead of realizing this is not what we need to learn. We need to learn regenerative soil science. We need to learn how to stay in the heart and be kind and compassionate to each other. Yeah. Powerful work you do, Judith. I thank you so much for being on the show with me today and sharing your wisdom and your beauty and everything that you're doing. For the people out there that would like to join your courses, share with us one last time your homepage.
It's www.empoweringthespirit.com.
poweringthespirit.com. Love it. Yeah. Okay. For those of you out there, go to www.empoweringthespirit.com, Judith Corvin Blackburn, and then also check out, she has three big books out there, and they're all better than whatever, the next one. They just keep on getting better. Empowering the Spirit, Journey to Wholeness, and this one today, Activating Your 5D Frequency, a guidebook for the journey into the higher dimensions. Thank you so much, and bye-bye.
Thank you, Kara.